Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great peace have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we are going to jump into his word for this week. This week, we are reading our Torah portion is in Exodus chapter 13, and it goes through chapter 17. And last week, we discussed how Yahweh freed the children of Israel out from underneath the bondage of slavery from Pharaoh. So we talked about redemption. We talked about the cost of redemption. We talked about how we have been redeemed from sin ourselves. So let's go ahead and glean and see what the Father is showing us in his scripture for this week. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to read in verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. All right, so let's pause here. Now, when we look at verse 17, the first thing I wanted us to look at is that God, it says here, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. So we see here, we also read at the end that he leads them by this fire and also by this cloud. So we see that God is leading the children of Israel. So he has redeemed them from Egypt. They are now fleeing out of Egypt. This is the night when all the firstborn children of the Egyptians, of those who did not put the blood on the doorposts of their homes, their firstborn son was killed. So there's this great outcry in the land of Egypt. Israel has their bags packed, and they have marched out of Egypt, and they are now on their way into the wilderness. And we see here in verse 17, as God is leading Israel out, he doesn't bring them by the way of the Philistines, which was actually the shortest route possible from Egypt into the land that he had promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now remember, the Philistines had giants. Okay, so God knows what is there. He sees what is before his people. And he also knows what is in the heart of his people. So although he had already delivered them out of Egypt, and you could say they had seen this deliverance from Egypt, they were not ready to face the giants of the Philistines. They were not ready to face war with the Philistines. It says here in this scripture that when they see war, they would want to return to Egypt. Or you could say, when things got hard, maybe, when things weren't so easy anymore, they would want to go back to where they came from. So I'm going to take them a different route, a different way. And on this different route, and on this different way, God teaches them things. He shows them things about himself. He shows them that he can provide food for them. He shows them that he can provide water for them in the middle of a wilderness where there is no food and there is no water. He provided food and water for them. He gives them the Torah in the wilderness, his instructions on how he wants to be loved, how he wants them to worship him in a manner that is set apart, unlike how the nations worship their gods. And he shows them and instructs them on how to love each other. And when they walk in this Torah, the idea would be is that they would be set apart from the nations of the world. The nations would look upon this nation of people and say, they are different than us. They would be as a light unto the world. Their light would shine to the nations of the world. And that would be something that would attract the nations of the world to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this other route, which would take longer for them to go, was a twofold thing, I guess you could say. Number one, God knew they weren't ready to face the Philistines. And it was also a method and a way for God to teach them and show them some things to make them ready to enter into the promised land. And he would also bring some tests and trials along the way to test and prove what was in their heart. What can we glean from this? Well, number one, he treats us the same way that he treated Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. He knows what is in our hearts. He will test and prove us. The testing and the proving is not so he can see what's in our heart, but it shows us what is in our hearts. Because most of the time, we are unaware of the things that are within our heart. We are unaware of the wickedness, the evil, the uncleanness that resides within our hearts and within our thoughts. So he will test us and he will prove us to show to us what is in our hearts. He has a plan and a desire and a purpose for each and every single one of us. And he has an end goal of where he wants us to get to. But he is bringing us, and he is going to bring us to that spot at the right time, at his time, and not at our time. Because there are things that he needs to work out in our lives, inside of us, before we get to the place where he is bringing us. So we need to learn to be patient, to wait, and to go through the process, to be willing to take the journey through the wilderness like Israel did, to not try to rush and get to the end game, to our end journey, before it is time. Because we need to allow him to lead us and guide us. Now remember, it speaks of how they were led by the pillar of a cloud by day and by fire, a pillar of fire by night. This speaks of his spirit and how his spirit is leading and guiding his people today. His spirit guides us each and every day. Now, the interesting thing is that the spirit is ultimately going to lead them to the Red Sea. The spirit is going to lead them to a place where it seems as if there is no way out. So even though he is sparing them the route of going the way of the Philistines and keeping them from the battle of the Philistines, he is bringing them to another way, which he's going to test and prove them and also show his great mighty power unto them. So you can say the Spirit led them into a test. The Spirit led them into a hard situation. This reminds me of Yeshua. Remember, when Yeshua comes to John the Baptist to be water baptized, to be immersed in the Jordan River. As he comes out of that river, we see the Spirit, the dove, comes and sets upon his shoulder. That represented the fact that the Holy Spirit came and dwelt upon Yeshua. And it was an outward testimony to everyone around him. And then what happens after that point? The Spirit has descended upon Yeshua, and in the scripture says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he would be tempted and tested for 40 days and 40 nights. So the Spirit led Yeshua into the wilderness to be tempted. So the Spirit, when we follow his Spirit, we will be led down a path. And as we follow the Spirit in the direction that we're going, we will be led through trials. But see, Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness. He had the Spirit upon him, and he resisted the devil in the wilderness. When each time when he was tempted, he quoted scripture. In fact, they were scripture from the Torah. He reminded the devil and also himself in the process the instructions of the Almighty, and how what the devil was telling him was against the instructions of the Almighty. So how do we overcome temptation? How do we stand strong against temptation? Number one, we need to know his instructions. We need to know the Torah. We need to know his commands. We need to know that which pleases Yahweh, how he wants to be worshiped, how he wants us to love people. So first we need to know it. So when the trial comes, when the temptation comes, we can recognize that that temptation is sin, that it is not righteousness, that it is unclean. Okay? The second thing is, just as Yeshua was led by the Spirit, we need to be led by his Spirit. We need to be filled with his Spirit. We need to be immersed in his Spirit. Because it is by his Spirit that we can look at something and say, that is sin, that is unclean. Now the Spirit gives us the power to say no to that sin, to overcome that temptation, and to be able to resist the temptation that is before us. Because you can know something is sin all day. You can know something is wrong. It is unclean. That it is something that is detested by the Almighty. But without the power of the Spirit, you are not going to be able to resist that sin. And you will succumb to that sin. Because we are weak in our flesh, we have to be strong in his Spirit. It is not by our strength, but it is by his Spirit. Okay, so as I said here, the Spirit has led them and is leading them on this journey. And as I spoke, it has led them unto the Red Sea. So let's go ahead and look at our next verse here in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 8. And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to Yahweh. They said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Yahweh will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." So a couple of things we see here in this passage. So as I spoke, the Spirit has led Israel unto the Red Sea. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He is now second guessing the fact that he has allowed Israel to march out of his land. So he has decided to get his men, to get his army, and to pursue after Israel. So he comes upon Israel while they are at the Red Sea. They are in this spot where they are trapped. Okay? They come through this narrow passage, Israel did, to the shore of the Red Sea. Now Pharaoh is coming through that narrow passage behind them, and they have no place to go. In the natural eyes to Israel, it does not look good. In the natural eyes, it looks like they are staring at death right there in the wilderness. The children of Israel are in fear. They are anxious, and they have unbelief. And in their fear, in their anxiety, and in their unbelief, they speak forth things of unbelief. They speak forth doubt. In fact, they speak forth things that are not very pleasing to the ears of Yahweh. What do they say unto Moses? "Is there not no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" So they truly think and believe they are dying. They said, "It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt." Now listen to this. Yahweh has pulled this group of people, has pulled Israel out of Egypt because he wants to be their God, and he wants them to be his people, and he wants them to worship him. So he has pulled them out of Egypt. He didn't pull them out of Egypt to die, but to worship him. But they say, "Let us go back unto Egypt." That is what it's like with us. When we return unto sin, Yahweh pulled us out of sin. He sent his son to die upon that cross for us. His blood was shed upon that cross. He has forgiven us and cleansed us of all of our sin, of all of our uncleanness. He has shown us his kindness because he wants us to be his people and he wants to be our God. He wants to be our healer, our deliverer, our provider. He wants to be the one who fights for us. But when we run back to the life that he pulled us from, we are just like Egypt, who is longing to go back to Egypt to a life of slavery, making bricks for Pharaoh. And why do they want to go back? Why do they want to go back into slavery? Because of fear and because of the anxiety, the anxious thoughts that are running through their minds. Their minds are probably running at 100 miles an hour at this moment, thinking and fearing every possible way or thing that could go wrong as Pharaoh is drawing near unto them. And it's interesting. Not one of those thoughts seems to be, hey, this God just delivered us out of Egypt. Maybe he's got something else in store for us. That thought doesn't seem to be there. But Yahweh, in his kindness and in his mercy, looks beyond the fact that Israel is in fear, that they are in doubt, and that they are longing and desiring to go back to Egypt, that they are actually regretting the fact that Yahweh has redeemed them from Israel. He forgives them. He moves past that, and he still is going to deliver Israel, even though they don't believe at this moment in time. Selah on that moment. Think about that. That he is still willing to deliver these people, even though they lack the faith at this moment in time. Because it's a journey. They are on a journey. We are on a journey. And he knows that we are on a journey. And he knows that there are trials, there are things that we're going to go through that we have to learn from. And some of them, he just has to step in and he has to deliver us. Because if it was left unto us to be able to do it, we would fail and we would never make it. And if he would have sat there and waited for Egypt to have the faith to believe that he could part the Red Sea, Israel would have died right there on the seashore. They never would have made it across that sea. What does Moses say to the people? This is what Yahweh is saying unto us. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of Yahweh. Yahweh will fight for you. So what we need to learn, one of the concepts that we can see here in the scripture that we can learn to apply unto our lives is to learn how to handle fear and anxiety. When life presses on us, we need to learn to be able to control our thoughts. Fear not and stand firm. That's what we need to learn. We need to learn to put our minds at rest and at peace. Be silent. Stop talking. See, Israel needed to stop talking. Be silent. Control your thoughts. Stand firm. Yahweh will fight for you. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So here in this passage, so we see before, he says, fear not. So put the fear aside, stand firm, and see the salvation of Israel. I think at this moment in time, Israel became quiet. I don't think the fear probably necessarily wasn't gone from Israel. They were sitting there thinking, okay, what's about to happen? They still have no idea. But Moses believed. And that was really all that was necessary, was for Moses, the leader, to believe enough to do what Yahweh was telling him to do. And all Israel had to do was to be willing to follow Moses, no matter if they actually knew what was happening or the end result was going to be. So he shows them the mercy, even when they're not believing. He still gives them the plan. And all Israel had to do was to be willing to be obedient. You know, sometimes we will know what we need to do. We will know what steps, what he is telling us to do, what we need to be obedient to do. We may not quite understand how it's going to benefit us in the end, but all we need to do is to be a people who is willing to be obedient to the directions that he is giving us to do. All Moses needed to do was to be willing to lift his staff out and to stretch it out over the sea and watch the water divide. And then upon that, be willing to walk through the water. And Israel just needed to be obedient enough to follow him through the water. And in that process, they see deliverance from Egypt again. They see the salvation of Yahweh. And an interesting thing happens as they begin to march through the waters. That pillar of cloud that was leading them beforehand, being the Spirit of God who is leading them, now comes and gets behind them. It becomes their rear guard. It becomes a barrier between them and Egypt. The Spirit of God becomes a defense between the people of God and their enemy. Think about that. Selah on that. His Spirit becomes a defense and is a defense between the people of God and their enemy. We also see not only is the Spirit there, but the angel of God is there as well. The angels of God fight for the people of God. They defend his people. They are his messengers. They minister unto his people. Remember, after Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, what happened? An angel of God came and ministered unto him. So as we face the trials and the temptations of this world, when the thoughts of this world try to come against our minds and tries to lead us astray, tries to cause us to conform unto this world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua and walking in his righteousness, which is walking in obedience to his commands. We can stand firm against those thoughts, against those trials. And when the world attacks us, we can stand strong. When the cares of the world attack us, we can stand strong against our enemy. First, we need to be and do as Moses said, fear not. Stand firm upon his word. Stand firm upon his promises. And his spirit, rely upon his spirit to fight for you. And you just need to be willing to be obedient to what he is telling you to do. Just be obedient and allow his spirit to fight for you, his angels to minister unto you and to fight for you as well. And you will see the salvation of Yahweh in your life as well. Hallelujah. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So we hope that you come back and you join us again next week. And shalom, y'all.